Lauren?
Good. If you listen carefully, you just might hear a story tonight that you remember or recognize, okay? Our purpose tonight is to tell the good news of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Could we begin this evening by singing hymn number 16? God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, 'twas for sinners Jesus died. Could someone start it for me, please?
God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified.
Gently calling, ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt howe'er appalling, come, and I will give you rest. For your sin he once has suffered on the cross, the work was done, and the word by God now uttered to each weary soul is come. Someone start it for me, please.
Come to Jesus and we care and toil oppressed. With your guilt
angel hosts are musing o'er this sight so strangely sad, God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. Just before this meeting began, we had a prayer for the gospel. And as we were assembling for the prayer meeting, Warren was going around the room to all the brothers and saying, "Come, it's time for the prayer meeting. Come." And now the message to you tonight: He has come. Jesus is calling you to come. And as I read before we began, Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." To everyone that believeth. Why is it we need a message of salvation tonight? Turn with me, please, to the 53rd Proverbs. Proverbs 53. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." God looked down from heaven and as he looks down from heaven, he sees right into your heart tonight. There might be many things that you have hidden away in your heart that your mom and dad don't know, that your friends don't know, those sitting beside you don't know, but God's looking down from heaven tonight. And he sees every last secret that you have hidden away in your heart. He looks down from heaven upon the children of men, see if there is any that did understand. Did he find one? No. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And what then of your sins? Can you hide them? No, you can't. In Numbers we read, "Be sure your sins will find you out." You cannot hide your sins from God. God is holy. He is too holy to look upon sin. You cannot come into his presence as a sinner. We also find in Scripture that sinners will be cast into the lake of fire. that burns forever. Let me torment forever. Eternal punishment for your sins. Be sure your sins will find you out. Is that just bad people? How about good people? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I had a piece of money here that I showed Lauren earlier. And I asked her if she could tell me who this man was. And she says, "That's you." Well, I didn't think I was famous enough to be on money. Brother, can you tell me who that might be? Former president of the country of Iraq, Saddam Hussein. I didn't think I looked like Saddam, but anyways. Thanks, Lauren. What did this man do? We know he was a very evil man. He tried to hide. And he was found out. He was trying to hide from men, and he was found out. But there are many people today who are trying to hide from God. It might be possible to hide from men, but we can't hide from God. And God has said that we have sinned and that we're guilty before Him. And turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Something like this was probably used to pay many wages in that country. But the wages of sin is death. Now you might say, "I'm not as bad as that evil man." But it only takes one sin. One sin to make you a sinner before God. Perhaps you haven't murdered millions of people. But have you lied to your mom and dad? You're just as much a sinner. It only takes one sin to make you a sinner before God. The wages of sin is death. When I was about 5 years old, I had a liking for cookies back then too. And Lauren, what do you think would happen if a little boy comes along and finds a cookie jar with cookies in it and he doesn't think anyone's looking? Do you think maybe a hand would go into that jar and snitch a cookie? You think so? But now that's stealing, isn't it? And stealing is sin. And so at the age of 5, I discovered that I was a sinner because I stole a cookie. And stealing is sin. A sin before God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God doesn't leave us with the terror of death facing us because of our sins. He has given us this wonderful gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want to turn to a verse that I'm sure the children understand. I've heard before, John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow. His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that we're all sinners before God. We've all sinned and we're guilty. And the wages of sin is death. God so loves us that he gave his only Son. I have 2 sons. And I can't imagine giving up either of them for someone else. God had 1 son, and he gave his Son, his only Son, to die on the cross, to bear the punishment for our sins, that we could have forgiveness for our sins. And turning over to Romans chapter 10, another verse that children often memorize when they're young, Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ went to the cross. And wicked men nailed him there to that cross. And he suffered. Suffered at the hands of man. The men stood around and mocked him, spit upon him, beat him. And then God shut out the sun in the middle of the day. Shut out the sun for 3 hours. And he poured out upon his own son his wrath, his punishment for sins, our sins. He poured it out upon his son. And there, during those 3 hours, Jesus Christ bore the punishment for my sins and for yours too, if you will believe on him. And you can be saved tonight. This verse says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So, you know, after they had put him on that cross and he had borne the punishment for our sins, he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He died. And then wicked soldiers came along and they saw that he was dead already. And they took that big spear and they thrust it into his side. I'm sure they did it because they were angry that he was dead already and they couldn't hurt him anymore. He was dead already. So in anger, they thrust that spear into his side. And there we see the grace of God, because pouring out from his side came his blood. It's that blood that washes our sins away. And then, 3 days later, God raised him again from the dead. And he appeared unto many in Jerusalem. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we've seen how we're all sinners, from the youngest to the eldest in this room. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. But God, in his great love for us, gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, that we might be redeemed. Jesus Christ went there to the cross and he bore the punishment for our sins. He suffered there for you and I. He was put in the grave. He rose again for you and I. And now if we will believe the Lord Jesus, we can know our sins forgiven, be saved. Turn over to the Old Testament. We have an account there of a man who tried to run away from God. And in the end, he finds he cannot run away. The book of Jonah. Book of Jonah, the first chapter. We find here that God had sent Jonah to be a preacher, to go to the city of Nineveh. He had sent him there to warn that wicked city that judgment was coming. But Jonah didn't want to obey God. So what did Jonah do? Verse 3, it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we might say that was rather silly. Here's a man who thought he could run away from God. Run away from the creator of the universe. And he was going to get on a boat and escape from God. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. These sailors had never seen a storm like this one. They had seen storms, I'm sure, but they'd never seen a storm like this one. God was not going to let Jonah get away. Then the mariners, another word for the sailors, were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares from the ship. They were throwing out all the cargo, trying to make that ship lighter. They didn't want it to sink. They were afraid. And they had to be really afraid of here, because the cargo is what they made their living with. Transporting that cargo, to throw it into the sea, was to throw out their living. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay fast asleep. Imagine that. The boat tossing around in the storm, almost capsizing. Everyone else on the ship was terrified that this boat was going to sink. And Jonah is sleeping. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. So be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Jonah was trying to escape from God. And now the ship's captain is coming to him and telling him, you better call upon your God. If we're going to survive this storm, we need God's help. Then they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. Casting lots was something like when people draw straws or roll a dice. It was a form of gambling, perhaps, but it was the way that in those days men would determine between several people. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and from whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people art thou? Oh, they're firing questions at him now. They've figured out who's responsible for this storm, and they want to know. Imagine. Jonah thought he was going to escape God, run away from God. How about you tonight? Are you trying to escape God? Perhaps you think hiding a bunch of Christians is a good place to hide. God won't think to question you too much here. Maybe you're acting like a Christian, hoping that your parents won't ask too many questions. What about God? Are you trying to hide from God tonight? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And I'm sure if he hadn't feared God before the storm, he feared him now. Does God have to send a storm into your life to get your attention? He's calling to you tonight. Don't turn your back on him. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. He told them. And they were amazed that a man would try to flee from the presence of the God of the universe. The God who controlled, who created the entire universe, and that a man would try to flee from him. They were amazed. Why have you done this? And why are you trying to flee from God tonight? Then said they unto him, What shall we do to thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. They knew there was nothing that they could do. They were helpless in this storm. And they knew that the hand of God was behind this. And he said unto them, Take me up, but cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He told them, Throw me into the sea, and then the storm will be over. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. They didn't want to throw Jonah into the sea. That'd be a very hard thing to do. Pick someone up and throw them overboard. They tried to deal with this problem in their own way. They tried rowing the ship to get to shore. But they couldn't overcome God either. The hand of God was upon them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased her raging. Like that. They threw Jonah overboard. And the storm stopped. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Just imagine those men on that ship. These men were not followers of God. They didn't know the Lord of the Hebrews. They just heard about him. And they had just encountered his fury in this storm. And they'd been told to cast this man, throw this man overboard to appease God of the universe. Because this man had sinned. This man was trying to run away from God. So they threw him overboard, and the storm ended. For those of us who don't live on the coast, we may not understand what that would mean. I've been out on a fishing boat on the west coast 24 hours after a storm was over. And the boat goes up one roller, and you look like, it seems like you're on the top of the world. And it goes down to the next, and you see nothing but water. These huge waves, the boat's sort of swallowed up in between the waves. And up on the top of the next one, like a peak of a mountain. 24 hours after the storm was over. They threw Jonah into the sea, and the raging of the storm stopped. This is the hand of God. And so it says they feared the Lord exceedingly. But now what about Jonah? What about Jonah? This one who tried to run away from God. Says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. A great fish. Swallow up Jonah. Was that the end? That the end of Jonah? No, not the end of Jonah. Then Jonah prayed. Oh, I missed a piece. It says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. It's a long time, isn't it? It took 3 days and three nights for Jonah to get to the point where he prayed. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest me, heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonas, in this prayer, tells us a little bit of what he experienced in that fish's belly. It says here that the weeds, the seaweed, was wrapped around his head. I can just imagine, well, no, I probably can't, but we can probably picture it in our minds, what it would be like to be there inside the fish, down in the depths of the ocean. There'd be no light. It'd be dark. Totally dark. Every time that fish opened his mouth, the water would pour in. The weeds wrapped around Jonah's head. He'd be sure that he was going to die. There'd be terror for 3 days and 3 nights of total darkness. No hope, no way of helping himself. It took him 3 days and 3 nights of terror before he came to the place where he cried out unto God. Before he recognized that he'd been running away from God and that his only hope of salvation was in the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and Lauren, what do you think happened to the fish? What did the fish do? Remember? Can you tell me?
Swallowed Jonah up.
Oh, this is after he swallowed him up. Then what?
The fish spit him out.
The fish spit him out. That's right. Now, did he spit him out in the middle of the ocean? Where did he spit him out? On shore, on dry land. That's right. So Jonah got on a boat to escape God. And he was sailing away from where God wanted him to be. We're not told where that fish spit out Jonah on the shore. But I kind of think it was probably back towards the direction he was supposed to go. God had prepared that great fish to swallow up Jonah in the middle of the ocean. And that fish brought him back to shore and spit him out. But first, Jonah had to come to the point where he recognized that salvation was of the Lord. There was nothing he could do to save himself. He recognized that he was dead. Before God, he was dead in his sins. There was nothing he could do. He could not cut his way out of that fish and swim to shore. There was not one thing he could do except to cry out to God. And so he cries out to God and he confesses his sin. And he recognizes that salvation is of the Lord. Now we could go on and read the rest of this book. And we find that Jonah now turns around and he goes to the city of Nineveh, like he was told the first time. But I'm going to end the story there for tonight. But what of you tonight? Are you running away from God? Or if you come to him recognizing the salvation is of the Lord, recognizing that you're a sinner before God, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one, but that God gave his only begotten Son for us, to die for us, because he so loved us. And now if we will confess the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. In closing, can we sing number 44? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, before tonight, as we sing this, I would ask you to consider this as a prayer. O Lamb of God, I come. Won't you come to Jesus tonight? Someone start it for me, please.
Just as I am without one plea,
Yeah.